From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nicole Ugrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, March 31st, 2025.
This Day in Maine is made possible in part by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 25 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath. Open 7 days a week.
The Maine Center for Disease Control is laying off at least 40 contracted workers as a result of last week's abrupt termination of nearly $91 million in federal grants. As Patty White reports, state officials say the cuts to COVID-related funding will also directly impact the work of more than 70 vendors.
The bulk of the cuts from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, roughly $88 million, will affect programs at the Maine CDC, including immunization programs, disease and outbreak monitoring and management, community health workers, and efforts to reduce health inequities in vulnerable populations. Another $3 million in cuts affect programs under Maine's Office of Behavioral Health, including school-based mental health counseling services, substance use prevention and recovery programs for youth, and training for providers to treat adolescents with co-occurring disorders. In a written statement, Maine health officials condemned the termination of the grants, saying they compromised the state's ability to respond to disease outbreaks and affect important safety net programs. Officials say they continue to evaluate the full impact of the cuts. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
The Maine CDC is also reporting the state's first pediatric flu-related death this season. The child's death comes as the agency is reporting a sharp increase in flu-related deaths overall this season in Maine, with 86 recorded so far compared to 53 last season. And hospitalizations have nearly doubled, with more than 1,200 so far. Maine CDC epidemiologist Anna Kruger says it's not yet clear why the state is seeing such a severe flu season. But according to national data, vaccinations have decreased.
It seems that particularly children have lower levels of vaccine uptake than at least compared to last season. However, adults do seem to be around the same percentage of people getting vaccinated.
Kruger says flu is still circulating and it's not too late to get vaccinated. A judge has cleared the way for the Portland Museum of Art to demolish the former Children's Museum to make room for a proposed $100 million expansion. Museum officials say the neighboring 19th century building is no longer historically significant. And last spring, Portland City Councilors agreed and declassified the building from protection as part of the Congress Square Historic District. The preservation nonprofit Greater Portland Landmarks appealed the decision in Cumberland County Superior Court, and late last week, a judge rejected the appeal, siding with the museum. Kate Lemus McHale with Greater Portland Landmarks says the appeal was driven by the belief that the city council went against basic preservation standards and set a dangerous precedent.
It's really beyond the issue of a single building and more really an effort to uphold a law that should be fairly applied to everybody.
Lemus McHale says her organization is still deciding if it will appeal the decision. In a statement, PMA Board President Eric Hayward says the museum is ready to move ahead with its campus expansion. Amid widespread uncertainty about Social Security's future, Governor Janet Mills says rural Mainers will face the brunt of any cuts to staffing, services, or office closures. The Trump administration has suggested that the Social Security Administration eliminate certain phone services and cut large numbers of staff. In her weekly radio address, Mills says the cuts would force Mainers to drive long distances to have their benefits questions answered.
To me, this is just plain wrong. The government shouldn't be making it harder for seniors to access critical benefits they've earned over a lifetime of working.
One quarter of Mainers receive Social Security, and Mills says the numbers are higher for people in the state's most rural counties. The Social Security office in Presque Isle was initially on a posted list of government buildings in Maine targeted for closure by the Trump administration, but that list has since been taken down, and Social Security officials say the agency hasn't announced any formal closures. Despite the freezing of federal funds across a wide spectrum of government programs, the Trump administration has so far left many climate and clean energy awards to the state of Maine untouched. Hannah Pingree is the co-chair of the Maine Climate Council.
We are still accessing federal funds. We are still implementing federal funding programs. And many of the laws passed over the last 4 to 6 years remain in effect.
Many feared that cuts to carry out Maine's climate action plan were at risk after awards were frozen in the first few days of the Trump administration. But since then, state officials say that some of that money has been released. Maine is counting on federal funding to meet its climate goals, including a $69 million plan to prepare and strengthen communities for future storms and flooding. The First Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston has ordered that a sexual harassment complaint against a former Maine judge go forward. Caitlin Bedayan has more.
The First Circuit reversed the earlier dismissal of a sexual harassment lawsuit against former Penobscot County Adult Drug Treatment and Recovery Court Judge Charles Budd Jr. In her complaint, Samantha Pike, a treatment provider, alleges that Budd made unwelcome sexual advances and inappropriate comments towards her at a conference in 2022 and upon their return to Penobscot County. In their ruling, the First Circuit judges say that Budd does not have qualified immunity as he had supervisory authority over Pike and she plausibly alleged a hostile work environment. The Maine Board of Overseers of the Bar admonished Budd last month for his conduct, but declined to discipline him further. Budd was placed on administrative leave after the lawsuit was filed and did not seek renomination to remain a judge in 2023. The case will now return to U.S. District Court for further proceedings. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Bedayan.
State lawmakers are considering a proposal to decriminalize the possession of up to 1 ounce of psychedelic mushrooms for people 21 and older. Though similar efforts have failed in the past, a public hearing today drew emotional testimony from veterans. Ari Snyder has more.
Cecilia Corey says she's struggled for years with mental health challenges stemming from her time in the Air Force and from traumatic events in her personal life. She told lawmakers that psilocybin therapy turned her life around.
I stopped having suicidal ideation for the first time in decades. I was hopeful. I was able to feel joy.
Bill sponsor Grayson Luckner, a Democrat, says the measure is intended to support therapeutic use and would not create a recreational market. But a commander with the Maine Drug Enforcement Agency told lawmakers he's concerned about a lack of quality control on products purchased through illicit markets. Oregon, Colorado, and a handful of cities around the country have adopted similar decriminalization policies. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, the history of comic books and why they've remained so popular. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.